This is Pocket Presents, powered by Sleeper. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's episode. And Tyler, we got a slight shift in the action, and I'm going to be telling everybody right now what's kind of going on. So on Fridays, you can expect this type of episode. We will be kind of setting the stage for the weekend, talking some picks, talking some fantasy, just kind of getting us ready to go for the weekend. And the rest of everything on this channel is going to be mainly film. If you want more talking ball, more insight, more some of that, you have your Friday episode, and then we have Twitter, we have Instagram, where we do a little bit more ad hoc, freelance type of stuff. But this channel, as it stands, will be one show on Friday, and the rest will be film, just trying to bring more insight and analysis to the table. But I'm excited to get to this one. We got week two, and Tyler, week one for me was the worst week of my predicting career as an NFL analyst. I was 4-for-12. I never was under 500, not once last year. I was 8-8 one week. And I got a lot to prove this week, so I'm ready to get to this.
Well, I can't wait to hear what you have. We talked about it last week. Week one is where you feel out these teams. I think some teams surprised us. There were obviously some injuries that might have thrown some of your picks askew, but we'll talk about it all this week. We'll break down the six games that excite us the most, and we'll just work through them. You can give us some picks, some analysis along the way. I want to start with the Bucs-Lions. Detroit favored 7.5 points, a little rematch from last year's divisional round playoff. How do you feel about these two gritty teams facing off again? They've obviously seen each other recently.
Yeah, this game's tricky, man. I kind of like the Bucs spread here. I like the Bucs plus 7.5. The Bucs are rolling. They had such a good game, and it's not like the Commanders didn't move the ball on them. Like the Bucs also are just, they've got talent. That group's been together for a long time. I don't think the Lions are 7.5 points better than them. Maybe because the Lions get another home game, like maybe, but I don't know, man. I think people are kind of sleeping on the Bucs in this one. I think Baker Mayfield's playing the best football of his life. He looked locked in, dialed in. He looks more agile, his arm's alive. And that Bucs team looks kind of like they've got something to prove. So I don't know. This is going to come down to me. Can the Bucs establish the run? The Bucs weren't really able to run the ball very well against the Commanders last week. They get another chance to do it against the Lions this week. And on the flip side, Jared Goff looked kind of sketchy last week. They won the ball because they were able to run the pill down the Rams' throat. That's why they won the game. Now, are they going to be able to do that against this Bucs defense that has a stout D-line? Jared Goff's going to have to do it with his arm this week. So this is a little bit of a sneaky, like, I think that the Lions are going to win, but Bucs plus 7.5, I like the points there.
From a fantasy's perspective, I am a Sam Laporta fantasy owner. A little frustrated last week. I know some Amon-Ra St. Brown fantasy owners were a little frustrated. And then you had the waiver wire of the gem, waiver wire gem of the week in Jameson Williams pop onto the scene out of nowhere. So how do you see this Lions offense breaking down from a fantasy perspective?
Yeah, you know, like their offense wasn't great in that game. They put up, 20 points in regular time. They got that touchdown in overtime to make it 26, kind of bolstered their stats a little bit, but they were really underwhelming against a Rams defense that, in my opinion, is rebuilding. So the Lions, again, it's week one. They'll probably hit their stride here. They'll get their Amon-Ra 10 targets, their Laporta 8 targets, whatever, rolling soon. But they weren't as sharp as I expected. And I also think that a lot of this comes down to Jared Goff. Jared Goff's got to be better. Jared Goff has got to distribute the ball around. He's got to be able to extend plays, which I don't know, man. I think the Lions kind of tiptoed through that win. I don't think they can tiptoe through this Tampa Bay defense. They're going to have to show up and make plays. Tampa Bay looked like the better team last week if you put them mano-a-mano. And if this game was being played in Tampa Bay, I would actually have the Bucs favored in this game. So I did not love what I saw out of Detroit last week. I'm not going
to
lie.
Take me to the Bucs side. They obviously played a team that's not great. Washington is rebuilding. What do you focus on in the offensive, maybe the quarterback room, if you're the Bucs, to say we're going in against a stout Lions team?
Yeah.
How do you game plan to beat the Lions?
They've got to stop the run because everything that the Lions do starts with the run. Their play action game comes alive with the run. They get those safeties playing up, get up the shots over the top. They get their deep crossers when they have to play man or one high. If the Bucs can stop the run and force Jared Goff to beat them with his arm, I actually really like the Bucs in this game. So this is a game that I'm going to be feeling out early. I'm going to be watching it, seeing what goes on. But if I'm the Bucs, man, stop the run, force Jared Goff to be the guy that has to beat you. And then on the flip side, you want to establish the run with Rashad White. And you don't want to have Baker Mayfield play perfect in a loud environment against a defense that's kind of, you know, plays with the momentum a little bit. So yeah, fantasy wise, I would expect this to be a big Rashad White game. I don't think that Baker's going to throw for four touchdowns this game. I don't think that's going to happen. And then on the flip side, Detroit's got to find a way to get Amon-Ra the ball in space, easy completion. Same with Laporta. There was just not enough easy completions to go around last week that I'm assuming via motion, via different splits and bunches, they're going to try to do a little bit more of that this week. So Laporta fans, Amon-Ra fans, I would not be too upset with what happened last week, and I'd be excited about this week. How are they going to get those guys the ball?
All right, let's talk Packers Colts. I just had to double check. This is a game at Lambeau Field, even though the Colts are favored -3. That's obviously the Malik Willis factor baked into that line. Although I have seen reports, Matt LaFleur keeps talking, the door is open for Jordan Love to start this week. He's not ruling it out. He said if and not when. I want to ask you first about this idea of Jordan Love having to come back. How is he spending this time this week? Is he focusing on game planning for the Colts? Is he just focusing on getting his knee ready to go? Like, how is he spending his time this week?
Yeah, he's getting his knee ready. And I know that they will have a game plan together. But at the end of the day, Malik Willis's game plan is going to be a very simple game plan. At the end of the day, it's not going to have a whole lot in it. He just got there a few weeks ago. They might have 40, 30% of the offense in this week, if that's the case, because they cannot do everything that Jordan Love can do with Malik Willis, who just got there. This game worries me for the Packers. I'm not going to lie. I would say that Jordan Love, not very mobile, is probably still a better chance to win a game than with Malik Willis today. He hasn't been there long enough. That's really hard to do. There's going to be a lot of just nuanced things that he's not going to be ready for in week two of this season, having just gotten there. I wouldn't be shocked, honestly, if Clifford's on practice squad, right?
Yeah, I think he'll be elevated to be the second guy behind Willis.
I wouldn't be shocked if they start Clifford or have Clifford ready to roll, to be honest. If Love's not ready, Clifford probably has a better grasp on this offense. He should. And will be more able to go around and sling it than Malik Willis will. And to beat this Colts defense, that Colts defensive front is nasty. They are good. And you're going to have to play a certain style of football to win this game. And look, the Texans last week, they ran the shit out of the ball with Joe Mixon. It's going to need to be a big Josh Jacobs game. However, they had the threat of pass last week. If Malik Willis is playing, they're not going to have the same threat of pass. They're going to be loading the box to stop the run, and they're going to make Malik Willis read it out and beat him with his arm. And I think that the Colts, if Malik Willis plays, this could get out of hand really quick.
So, well, I don't disagree with you on the Sean Clifford point. I think LaFleur said that if Love doesn't play, it will be Malik Willis that gets to start. How do you scheme around him? Understanding he just got to Green Bay. He doesn't know the full playbook. He's relatively inexperienced as an NFL QB, period. Yeah. How do you scheme around him to make sure he has success?
A lot of RPOs, a lot of zone reads, a lot of play action, crossers, rollouts, boots. They call them Ralphs and Larrys, where you got your wide zone to one side, fake it out, got a slider out and a crosser. I would imagine the dropback pass game is going to have a lot of chips, a lot of edge help, and they'll probably get into some empty and have him run quick game. I would not imagine they want to push the ball downfield much. I don't think they'd want to have him read that too high shell that the Colts like to get into. And if you look at it, man, it's they're going to have to play the time of possession game and the turnover game. And they're going to need their defense on the flip side to be aggressive, punching the ball out, trying to force turnovers, because there's going to be a certain style of gameplay that needs to be played for them to win this game if Malik Willis is playing.
Okay, let's hop over to the Colts side of the football. You had a film review this week on Anthony Richardson. As I was watching that game, I was laughing to myself because his final stat line of 9-for-19 wasn't great, but when you looked at some of the plays individually, they were unbelievable, and that's the full Anthony Richardson experience. I couldn't wait to hear your breakdown, and I thought it was very measured. You obviously had some great insight into what he needs to do better, what he did well in that game. What does Anthony Richardson need to do in this game to make sure that the Colts win? And maybe he doesn't have to do a lot if he's starting against Malik Willis.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson, this game, for them to win, just needs to take the layups. He needs to keep the offense on the field. He needs to not force things. If he can take his 5-yard completions, 10-yard completions, and just methodically move them down the field, I don't think that this defense necessarily is going to give up that 70-yard post for a touchdown. Like, that's, you're only going to get so many of those a week. I mean, a year. You're not going to get those often. So they cannot bank on that. They need to be efficient. He had last week, I saw a chart on Twitter, the most separation from receivers being open and the least accuracy out of any quarterback in the league last week. Now look, he had some wow plays and some of that shit was crazy. But to consistently win in the NFL against defenses that are solid, that are defenses that are opportunistic, that create turnovers, you can't live in that world. He had some of the most generational plays, right, that we're talking about last week, and they still lost. You cannot expect him to show up and throw 70-yard posts once or twice a week. If that's as good of talent ceiling-wise that they could be was last week, throwing the ball down the field, having these big plays, and they still lost, what does that tell you when you take those away and you make him have to be efficient, play in and play out and play in and play out against a defense that's going to show you different looks, that's going to create turnovers? That defense created a lot of turnovers for Jalen Hurts, and they missed a few as well. Like, this defense, say what it is, they let up 30 points or whatever, but they also created really short fields. And if you already did that against Jalen Hurts, you know that that's what is on their mind with Anthony Richardson. And for him to be who he needs to be, he needs to be able to hit the 5-yard outs. He needs to be able to convert on third down and hit the open guy. That's all that they really need him to do. They need him to be a Nick Mullins this week, and they'll win this game. That's what they need.
Yeah, I want to ask you about your take on this Packers defense, because I don't think we've talked about it. They had a bunch of turnovers. Like you said, they probably should have had at least one or two more. But at the same time, they almost give up 40 points. So you sit there and you're happy about the turnovers. It's something we talked about all offseason, where it's just give Jordan Love more opportunities. But it's not sustainable to give up 40 points. So where do you sit on this defense after 1 week?
Dude, I love the defense, to be honest. I absolutely love them. I think that recipe will work. If the Packers offense can get out of their own way and stop kicking field goals in the red zone. What happens in that game if they go up from creating two short fields, 14-0 or 17-3 or 20, you know what I mean? You cannot settle for field goals off of turnovers in the red zone, in the opponent's red zone. That's bullshit. That's terrible offense. And so I want to stop seeing first down runs and second down runs off of turnovers. That's what I want to stop seeing. So go be even more opportunistic on offense, maybe even go for it, right? Like, if you're settling for two field goals in the red zone, if you were to flip the script and just start going for it and you hit 50% of the time touchdowns, you're scoring more points than field goals, and you're also putting more pressure on the other team. I think that, again, the Packers in that game played not to lose, and the game got out of hand for them, where at the end of last season, the decisions they were making, the play calling, all of that, was playing like they had nothing to lose because they were back against the wall, right? So I love the defense. We've been begging for an opportunistic defense. And what comes with that? You create turnovers and you let a big plays. But if you create more turnovers, I'd rather let a big play happen versus a 10 play drive that takes up 8 minutes and scores a touchdown anyways. Give me the big play and get the other team the ball back, or get the offense the ball back, while also creating turnovers. Like, let's go, man. It's modern NFL football. So I liked it. I loved the defense. I know people bitched about it online. They did everything they needed to win that game. And the offense could not show up. It is what it is. Go watch the tape.
All right. I appreciate that. I needed to be talked back into the defense, because you're right. It's exciting when you have these turnovers and you're giving up. You can't have a perfect defense where you turn the offense over every time, and then also give up not a lot of big plays.
Can't have both sides of it, dude. And I think at the end of the day, like, in the NFL, if you win the turnover battle, you win 80% of the games. If you win the turnover battle, you can't play scared on offense when you get a short field. So let's just act like we belong there. And that's sometimes the hard thing about these offensive coordinators or people that are calling plays. You get a short field, it's like, oh, we got this opportunity. You get tight for whatever reason. Where sometimes when you have a 10-play drive, your confidence builds all the way through the end of the drive and you're willing to dial it up. We're like, we got three in the bag. Let's just make sure we get our three in the bag. Like, screw that, man. Like, that team can score points too, clearly. So I was not a fan of the red zone operation last week from top to bottom.
All right, let's jump over to the Niners and Vikings. San Francisco favored by 6 points. We have a little Sam Darnold revenge game. Another team, the Vikings, that looked really good last week going against another great playoff team.
Yeah, I got the Niners this week. I don't know how you stop that offense. Mason looked like a better downhill runner than Christian McCaffrey has looked. Like, in all honesty, the way they were scheming it up, the types of runs they were calling. Now, look, they didn't get the production in the pass game out of Mason. He's not going to be the guy that's running choice routes and Texas's and wheels and all that stuff. But as far as pounding the rock, it looked very like Mostert-y, like just going to play after play after play. And then he's going to pop some. And I think that opened up the pass game for Brock Purdy a little differently. I think the Niners are going to be too much for the Vikings to handle. I think that Niners defense is a problem. And I also think that the Vikings are going to make some plays, but I don't think they're going to have enough to consistently go four quarters with that team and win the game.
How much more do you have to see out of Sam Darnold to feel vindicated about all of the hype? You've seen enough.
Dude, Sam showed up. That Giants defense was good last year, man. Like, they were top five last year. People forget about that. And they didn't really lose a whole lot. Like, yeah, they lost the safety, but like, he was dialing it up and he was making plays with pressure in his lap. It wasn't just this was not a Derek Carr game where you're playing against the Panthers. Everyone's open. You have all the time in the world to throw. That's not the game that Sam Darnold had to play. Sam Darnold was dialed in, and I'm expecting him to be dialed in this week, even though they're probably going to lose.
All right, maybe we have the game of the week with Bengals and Chiefs. Kansas City, 5.5-point favorites. The Bengals are allergic to not losing in week one. What do they have to do to get back on track here?
I don't think they get back on track this week. I don't. I don't see how the Bengals beat the Chiefs unless they just dial it up and it's a Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase game. It's got to be like one of those, but I don't think the Chiefs defense is going to let it be a Jamar Chase game. I think they know how to isolate guys and put them on their own little place with a double over the top, like take them out of the game plan and focus on everything else. I love the Chiefs here. I think the Chiefs offense is only going to get better. I think Rashee Rice is a dog. I think Worthy's going to pop off. And again, man, that Bengals team, people had them winning the division early on. No shot. I don't see the talent across the board on that Bengals roster. And again, they have some good players, but at the end of the day, Joe Burrow is a human and he is not a guy that is going to change the game with his feet and overcome a lack of talent on offense. Like, they need T. Higgins to play, that's for sure. Like, they definitely need T. Higgins. That showed up last week, but I don't know, man. I don't think the Bengals are built for the long haul. I don't.
Let's give the Bengals fans some optimism here. If you were to poke a hole in the Chiefs and say this would be the reason that they might lose in week two to the Bengals, what would that reason be?
Honestly, if the Chiefs start having calls against them from the refs, that could get them behind the chains. And I'm excited to see how the refs ref this game, because I've never seen such a one-sided operation as I did that Chiefs-Ravens game last week. And I think the Chiefs are really good. I don't think that they're as good as we saw last week because of how one-sided that ref operation was. So I want to see the Chiefs, if you get called for a false start or a legal formation or whatever, how do you overcome first and 15? They can do it. They got the talent to do it. They got the play calls to do it. They got Mahomes. Like, they got it. But I just... last week was with everything going their way. So I want to see the Chiefs. How can you operate and overcome when things don't go your way? Because haven't really had to do that a whole lot. Not since the playoffs started last year.
We have an exciting Sunday night football matchup. Bears at the Texans. Houston's favored by 6 points.
Yeah,
I think an under-discussed thing. The Bears won last week, but Caleb Williams couldn't even throw for 100 yards. And I'm not trying to, just because Jordan Love's hurt, put on my hater hat where I'm now pointing out the flaws of my least favorite teams. But what does Caleb Williams have to do to put it together this week?
Caleb Williams has to stay on pace. He has to stay on track. He cannot create the super negative plays. As much talent as he has as a scrambler, the defenses you're playing against now versus the ones in preseason have slightly better edge rushers that are actually way more athletic than you. You cannot spin out of things twice and lose 20 yards on first down. You've got to learn to throw the ball away. Also, his receivers need to step up. His receivers kind of played like shit that game. And Keenan Allen dropped a wide open touchdown. Perfect. Five yard out route. Bam. Hands dropped. Like, Keenan's got to play better. Moore's got to play better. I haven't really seen DJ Moore all preseason in a capacity that I'm like, dude, you've got to play better. I've watched a lot of their film from the videos that I was making early on. I watched last week's film. DJ Moore did not look like a number one paid receiver. Like, he just got paid. So I'd expect all those guys, like those guys need to make his job easier. However, the Bears defense, clearly a problem, clearly has a lot of talent. And so on the flip side, I want to see what CJ Stroud and that offense can do. Is Mixon still going to go for 100 plus yards rushing? Is it going to be CJ having to be a surgeon? Houston's at home. Houston's the better team and they're more experienced. I expect them to win this game, but this is going to come down to Caleb's side and who elevates around him to make his job easier.
On the Texan side, we have 1 week now where we saw all three receivers on the field, Diggs, Tank Dell, and Nico Collins. How do you look at this wide receiver room? Was there a clear one that emerged to you? Do you think they coexisted well?
Nico's the one. Nico gets it open for Diggs underneath, and Tank Dell's got to take the scraps and take his designed shot plays and make the most of them. Tank Dell had a post thrown to him last week that kind of faded upfield, almost got undercut, almost got intercepted, that if it was Nico Collins running that post, he would have came back to the ball and high pointed it. And those are some things that Tank Dell's got to take the next step in this year of going and getting the ball versus letting the ball fall to him. And how they coexisted, man, I loved that game plan. You saw Stephon Diggs basically walk into the end zone on a, well, he walked in the end zone on a 2-point play. He walked in, I think it was 2-point or fourth down. Might've been that touchdown. And he walked in on the, clear out that Nico Collins had where he was running a short slant across the middle of the field and just kind of fell into the end zone vertically. Those are going to be what happens with Nico being a dog. Like Stephon Diggs's job just got 1,000 times easier this year. And not to mention, he's not going to be playing outdoors in the freezing freaking cold for the last quarter of the year. I expect Stephon Diggs to be crazy efficient and a spark plug for this offense underneath.
All right, let's wrap it up with Falcons versus the Eagles, Philadelphia favored by 6.5. How worried are you about Atlanta? They did not look great last week, much less against the Steelers, who I know you were not high on coming into the season.
Yeah.
How worried are you?
You know, I think Atlanta has a good chance to start 0-2. I think that Atlanta's offense can look way worse because Kirk Cousins is the quarterback if there's a lot of pressure and they're not handling it. He cannot move. He cannot create. He's not that guy. And if shit gets in his lap, he's going to throw it up. That's what he's done his whole career, right? Like that's how they lost that game. Threw a pick into double coverage where nobody had any chance of catching the ball because he was trying to get rid of it from avoiding a sack. Like if the Eagles can create pressure consistently, they will win this game. If they drop back and try to just man up and let him read out the defense with no pressure and a clean pocket, that's when Kirk Cousins looks good. And the defense for Atlanta, say what you want, they didn't let up a touchdown. And there were opportunities that the Steelers for sure could have with a ground and pound. Like the Steelers can run the damn football. Like they can hit you in the mouth and run vertically. And that was a game for the Falcons that I was pretty impressed by their defense. Again, they didn't get tried much in the pass game because they got two dog safeties. So like there's not gonna be much action in the middle of the field. I want to know what Jalen Hurts is gonna do and how he's gonna act with this, because Falcons defense played well, all things considered, with the amount of turnovers and short fields. So I don't know. This could be a trap game for Philly. This is going to come down to what is their defensive game plan. And I'm sure we'll see it early because you got to get Kirk Cousins uncomfortable.
Yeah. Philadelphia obviously won the game last week against the Packers, which I think quelled the idea that they were spiraling like they did at the end of last season. How confident do you feel if you're Philly? Because Jalen Hurts, he had a lot of turnovers, like we talked about. Yep. So is it fully back on for Philly, or are we still a little worried about them?
I think Philly's going to win their division. They're the best team in their division. I think they're going to drop some games here and there. They just feel maybe not young age-wise, but they're young in cohesiveness. And so like we didn't see anything close to what their best version of themselves was. And they still won the game. They still put up a crazy amount of points. They still made big plays. So I see this team slowly getting better week in and week out. And yeah, you'll drop some here and there, but this Philly team, man, sky's the limit. And Kellen Moore, we talked about him before. Like we said, I loved that signing for them. Finally, you see the Eagles motioning. Like, holy shit, Eagles fans rejoice. You see not just stagnant passing plays, stagnant drop back. They're being creative. You throw a wheel route to Saquon Barkley for a touchdown. You were not seeing that shit last year. So Eagles fans have a lot to be excited about. This is going to be on their defense. I want to know how consistent that can they be, how sticky can they be, and can they create turnovers?
All right, I want to jump some fantasy questions here, but first I do have to ask, because I tailed your Survivor pick last week in the Bengals.
How quickly
into that game did you realize that you had made a mistake?
You know, honestly, I still thought they were going to win the game all the way until probably fourth quarter. Like, how do you fumble the ball like that? And like, so they're just so carefree with the football. And that's the problem with the Bengals, dude. The Bengals think they're something they're not. They think they're like above playing good football. Like, the better coach team, the cleaner team, and the team with way less talent won that game. The Bengals showed up and thought they were going to win their home opener against a shitty New England team. And New England wasn't that shitty. They were just efficient and they didn't have much firepower. But the Bengals found out really quick that they cannot play that style of football and expect to win. Now, look, I see one of our questions from this week. Need to know about Joe Burrow. Not sure if it's a question or not, but I'm very worried. I think you should be. And we've been saying this for 2 years. Joe Burrow got paid a shit ton of money. Joe Burrow plays well in big games. However, Joe Burrow as a fantasy quarterback, you drafted him because of his aura, not because of his output. Joe needs things around him to play well. He's not going to be the guy that can just go out and create gold out of shit. Like, if his receivers are dropping passes, if he has guys that are fumbling, or like whatever, if he's scrambling and fumbling, he does not have the upside that a Josh Allen has. And I hate that people even put them in the same category. Josh Allen can elevate his team past a bunch of bad bullshit. Joe Burrow cannot do that. If guys around Joe Burrow don't show up, Joe Burrow's not showing up. I don't care. Like, it's, we've, for whatever reason, anointed Joe Burrow something that I don't believe he truly is yet. People love it, people whatever, but just because he beat the Chiefs a few times doesn't mean that he is beating Mahomes. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, people like to put him in the, oh, whatever. Eli Manning never beat Tom Brady. Eli Manning and the Giants beat the New England Patriots. It's kind of in that similar world to me. Like, Joe is not on the same plane as Mahomes, in my opinion. When he's playing really good football, he's really good. He's efficient. He's accurate. He can do things that other people, like some people say they can't, but I don't know where this crowning of Joe Burrow the next coming started, but it's been 2 years now, right? Like, yeah. It's come on.
So to answer the question, it's, we have been worried. We're not just
We've been worried. We've been worried about the public consensus on Joe Burrow for a long time on this show. Very publicly for a long time. When he plays good football, the shit looks good, but he's still not Josh Allen. He's still not Mahomes. He's still not Lamar Jackson. Like, at the best, he's close to a CJ Stroud, and CJ still got more upside than him. Kill me for it. I don't care.
All right, let's take
Justin Herbert. Last thing. I like Justin Herbert better than I like Joe Burrow.
Okay.
I would take Justin Herbert on the same team over and over and over again over Joe Burrow. And I would.
Okay. Well, you pivoted as well, because this next question, should they play Dak or Justin Herbert? We know where Joe Burrow falls in this, but Dak or Justin Herbert, who do you got?
God dang, man. Oh, man. I don't like how they play offense with the Chargers, but hey, now they're playing the Panthers. I think if you're ever going to start, like, I don't think that fantasy-wise the Chargers play to a place where, like, you should be banking on them. However, the Saints defense is a good defense. Like, they're a good defense. And I think that the Cowboys aren't just going to run wild. However, it is at home. It is Jerry's world. It is this and that. But give me Justin Herbert this week, man. And if you lose your fantasy matchup, I'm sorry. But you've got to take Justin Herbert against the Panthers versus Dak against the Saints defense. So fade the Panthers all year long. They just lost their best player on defense. So maybe we'll get some more play action ops, get some more time in the pocket. Maybe we'll have a Herbie fully loaded coming out party, and the Chargers might start 2-0. They probably will.
We had Derek Carr MVP trajectory last week.
Yeah. So give us the common theme here. Whoever plays the Panthers defense at this point in time, start them.
All right, last question here regarding tight ends. They brought in Jake Ferguson might not play this week. I just looked it up, a bone bruise. He might play, but
yeah,
there was some disappointing tight end play. I think of David Njoku, who a lot of people thought was going to be great, and then they remembered Sean Watson was getting rolled out. So on a lot of people's waivers, you probably have guys including Hayden Hurst, Kate Otten, Juwan Johnson, even Zach Ertz and Noah Fant. Any of these guys particularly excite you, guys that might not regularly be rostered in leagues, but could be good fill-ins for injuries like this?
You know, I really, one, I like Hayden Hurst. He's got high upside. I think he's kind of like a big-ish play waiting to happen. I really love Cade Otton. I liked Cade Otton a lot at the end of last year. I think that going into this week, the Lions are going to be putting an extra emphasis on not getting beat by Mike Evans or Chris Godwin or Rashad White. And that leaves one guy available as the next outlet for Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield's going to drop back and sling it. He's going to get his ops, right? Like, they're going to be passing the ball. Give me Cade Otton. I think that fantasy-wise, if you go and look at him last week, right, he didn't do a whole lot. He had two targets. He had one reception, whatever. But that's also because they weren't getting many ops to him last week. If you go back in his game log to 2023, the last time that they played the Lions, Cade Otton had 15 fantasy points. He had eight targets, five receptions, 65 yards and a touchdown. When they played Philly in the playoffs, he had 11 targets on eight receptions, and he had 13 fantasy points. He, in my opinion, in this game is going to be needed. He's going to get his targets, and if he doesn't, I'm sorry. You're already kind of screwed at the tight end position, but I think that he could sneak in against this. Go and look last week as well. Parkinson from the Rams. He had a pretty solid outing if you're looking on waivers for matchups against the Lions, and I think that's where their mismatches are. Take advantage of the tight end and the linebackers. Go with Otton. Cross your fingers and hope for the best.
Best of luck. Not always great when you're scrounging the waiver wires for tight end replacements after week one. But that's fantasy football, and that's what we have this week, Kurt. An exciting slate of football. Some fun primetime matchups. Thursday night football, looking to be a great matchup. Should have mentioned that, actually. I want to redo that. That's what we have today, Kurt. That's what we have today, Kurt. A lot of fun, exciting matchups, primetime matchups specifically. Looking forward to this weekend.
It's going to be a fun weekend, boys. Let's lock in, dial in, get your entries right. Look out for those discounts on sleeper picks, and we'll get rolling. See you guys next week.